Today's episode of the podcast is brought to you by Clean Cut Meals. Clean Cut Meals are a professional meal prep service and have various plans to suit your specific goals. They change up their menus every week so that you never get bored and can help you stay on track long term. I've been using the lads for nearly a year now. I use them back for my 6 back-to-back marathons in the Sahara Desert, and I've been using them every day for my post-workout meal in the lead-up to next year's endurance events. So if you're short on time or looking to get the time back from shopping, cooking, preparing, and cleaning up after meals, then I can't recommend them more. To get 20% off your first-time order, go to cleancutmeals.ie and enter the podcast code BKF at the checkout. That's BKF, as in Brian Keane Fitness, at the checkout for 20% off all first-time orders. If you have any other questions, just fire the lads over an email. And now, on to this week's episode. Cue the music, Tommy. Whoa, this is an episode I have been looking to do for years. For those of you unfamiliar with Lane Norton, he is a physique expert, natural pro bodybuilder, and professional powerlifter. He has a PhD in nutritional sciences and is one of the world's leading experts in bodybuilding, figure, and physique coaching. Lane is the highest end of cutting through the bullshit in the fitness industry from a very scientific standpoint. So I know a lot of you listened to the episode with James Smith, which is one of my favorite episodes. Lane is not dissimilar in his approach, except it's a bit more heavy on the science side. He really, really cuts through any bullshit that's got to do with nutrition and explains things in a very easily to understand, digestible way. This episode's amazing. I've been following Lane for the guts of 11 years now. He was somebody that when I first got into fitness and nutrition, into really seriously training myself at about 19 years of age, 20 years of age, I used to read what was at the time bodybuilding.com. Lane used to have articles on that website, and he was one of the original people that I read and learned from nutrition-wise. And I've since gone off and read different sports nutritionists, different experts in different areas of health. And I always come back to Lane's articles, blogs, and videos that he puts up because of his way of staying on top of up-to-date research and just cutting through any misconceptions and breaking it down in a very comprehensible and easily accessible way. This episode, we talked about calorie deficits, calorie surpluses, calorie maintenance, and one of the most frequently asked questions I get, which is how to calculate your calories. And Lane goes through what he does himself and what he does with his clients using things like food recall logs and how to actually determine how many calories you need each day in order to either build muscle or lose body fat or tone up or to achieve whatever goal you're trying to achieve. And that to truly lose body fat or lose weight, you need to be in a calorie deficit. We spoke on his favorite nutritional strategy, which is flexible dieting. And what some of you may have heard as IIFYM, which is if it fits your macros. But again, with Lane's background in nutrition, he speaks about using mostly whole foods. And if you want your Pop-Tart or cheesecake, factor it into your macros and how best to do that sustainably. One of his principles that I think I've adopted more than any other is that the best diet is the one that's the most sustainable for you. So Lane is an anti-keto, he's not anti-vegan. He's very much find what nutritional strategy works for you and then continuously do that. And I've spoken in the podcast in the past that the best nutritional strategy is the one that fits into your lifestyle and schedule, that's in alignment with your goals, that includes foods that you enjoy. And Lane talked a lot about how flexible dieting can work for people if it's an approach you want to try. We talked about the problem with yo-yo diets and how to unfuck your metabolism, which I'm very tempted to work into the title of this episode. We talk about metabolic adaptation, which is an incredibly effective process of understanding your body's internal thermostat when it comes to calorie maintenance and calorie intake. So metabolic adaptation is when your metabolism adapts to lower or increases in calories, which can either slow down or speed up your progress or gains or whatever it is you're trying to achieve. And we spoke, you're not a dog, to don't treat yourself with food, that nobody's born with self-discipline, you have to build it, and a little bit of everything in between. This is probably one of the best episodes on nutrition, with some science backed and some very new studies that Lane has read and has been researching, and gives lots of different angles, lots of different analogies, and lots of different examples to why you're not losing weight or why your body composition isn't changing. His new book, Fat Loss Forever, will be out in the next few weeks. The pre-orders are now finished, but there's a free chapter available on his website, biolane.com, which I'll link in the show notes. So without further ado, my guest and somebody that I have been following for the past 11 years or so, and my honor and pleasure to have him on the podcast, PhD in nutritional science, Lane Norton.
You're listening to the Brian Keane Fitness Podcast, where Irish fitness entrepreneur Brian Keane answers your questions and interviews leaders in the world of fitness, health, mindset, and natural wellness. Come join the fun.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Brian Keane Fitness Podcast, where we talk everything fitness, nutrition, and mindset to help you with your goals. I'm so excited to have the amazing physique expert, natural pro bodybuilder, and professional powerlifter Lane Norton with me on the podcast today. Lane, welcome to the show.
Hey Brian, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
I've spoken about you in the intro that I did, but tell everybody a little bit more about yourself, what got you into fitness, your background, etc.
Yeah, so basically I'm a science geek who likes lifting weights. I always knew I was interested in science. I originally wanted to be a marine biologist, and then I got into lifting when I was about 15 or 16 because I didn't get any attention from girls and I got bullied a lot. So I started lifting weights, hoping to remedy that. It did not fix either of those two things, but I fell in love with lifting and have been doing it for the past 20 or so years. And along the way, got so passionate about it that I did my bachelor's in biochemistry and my PhD in nutritional sciences, competed in bodybuilding, competed in powerlifting, all that jazz. And I just had a real love affair with the iron game.
Yeah, it's so funny. I think that's the reason why 99% of guys start lifting. And again, the ones that stick with it are the ones that normally fall in love with the iron. Lane, I've been reading your work for at least 10 years, for as long as I've been in the fitness industry. Your contest prep book guide was the one that I used when I did my first ever natural bodybuilding show. So thank you for that as a side note. And you were actually the one that introduced me to the dietary system known as flexible dieting. Talk me through, why do you think that strategy works so effectively for people? And is that something that you still think works for a majority of people right now?
Well, I think flexible dieting, and for those who aren't familiar, basically the idea of flexible dieting is that you can basically eat anything you'd like as long as you can fit it into your, you know, daily food budget, for lack of a better term. Just like if you were developing a monetary budget, you can buy whatever you like as long as you can fit it into your budget. So, but that requires that you track your budget and you know how much you're making versus how much you're spending and that sort of thing. And that's the same thing with flexible dieting. So, if I'm dieting, and you know, my contest prep guide talks about this a lot, and obviously the new book Fat Loss Forever will talk about this a lot too. But there is no magic diet. People want to make, you know, the ketogenic diet or the paleo diet, any of these diets who produce fat loss, the only reason they work is because they create a calorie deficit. So they you're essentially expending more energy than you're taking in. Now, for some people, for example, a ketogenic diet works because they just like eating that way. Or I don't know who they are because I like carbs. But, and for some people, a paleo diet works because if they don't eat grains, they just eat less, right? And it spontaneously decreases their food intake. But what I've always said is, if there's no magic diet and you don't want to cut whole food groups out of your life and you don't mind tracking your intake, you can have whatever you want and still lose body fat as long as you are willing to track what you're doing. And so just like you can make $20,000-$30,000 a year and you can actually still save money as long as you're being extremely regimented and tight with your budget, right? So now people will say that, well, you can't be serious that I can eat donuts or Pop-Tarts or whatever it is and lose weight. Yeah, you can, because the research has shown that. I used to think that high fructose corn syrup was the devil and was going to make anybody fat, and you couldn't possibly lose fat if you're eating high fructose corn syrup, and that's just not true. There are several studies showing that even at a high sugar intake of over 100 grams of sugar a day, that you can still lose body fat and lose the same amount of body fat you would lose on a low sugar diet if calories are equal. The difference is that if, for example, you've got somebody who is on a pretty aggressive diet, they've got a slow metabolism, they've got to eat, you know, 1600 calories a day. Do they really want to spend, you know, talking about again as a budget, if they have two Pop-Tarts, do they really want to spend 350 to 400 calories, almost a quarter of their daily budget, on two Pop-Tarts that are tiny, right? Most people don't want to spend that because it's not very satiating, it's not very filling, and you're not going to get a lot of micronutrient benefit out of that. So, you know, for example, like my girlfriend Holly, she's dieting for a show right now. She can eat whatever she wants. So she does have, you know, occasionally a calorie dense food, but she's down to about 1300 to 1400 calories a day. So you know what she eats a lot of? Salads. Not because salad is a magical weight loss food, but because it's just not very energy dense. So she can eat a higher volume of food, and feel fuller. So that's kind of how flexible dieting works, in that if you're doing it right, you are going to self-select foods that are less energy dense simply because they you'll be fuller.
Yeah, and one of the things that I think you've been preaching for years, and I've adopted this philosophy myself, is it's whatever's sustainable for the person. Like what I generally tell people, right, you know, is what diet can you stick to that's in alignment with your goals, that fits into your lifestyle and your schedule. And I think flexible dieting, for some people, it can be very, very sustainable. Do you see a mistake that people commonly make? Because flexible dieting sometimes can be looked at as the magic pill diet, that, oh, yeah, you get to eat Pop-Tarts, you get to eat. Is there some very obvious mistakes that people make? Because people will be listening now and going, oh, that sounds amazing, let's try that diet out. What do you normally see as the main mistakes?
Well, I think one of the biggest mistakes is people eat out way too much. So they'll say, well, I know this restaurant has their nutrition information put online. Well, that's just what it says. But you can't control what the chefs are doing in the kitchen. I mean, they could be dousing a bunch of extra oil on your food and you don't know, right? So I'm not saying to never eat out, but the more times you do that, the more possibility you are giving to introduce error into your measurements, right? So even if it doesn't matter what the paper says was in the food, if what was really in the food was 200 extra calories, then it's still going to affect you physiologically the same way as those 200 calories, regardless of what the paper says. So I think that, one, people tend to get a little, you can be too flexible with it. You can be too liberal with it, where you're allowing yourself everything you want and not really being rigid enough. I also think one of the problems you can run into is people who become obsessive about, you know, completely 100% hitting their numbers dead on, right? So they go over their carbohydrate intake by 3 grams in a day, and they say, and they say something like, oh my God, well, I've already blown it, so I might as well just not even worry about it. And that's not true. You know, like going over by 3 or 4 grams, like there is more inherent error in food labels than there is just by, you know, going. But even Holly's like this because she has a little, you know, component of OCD is, you know, she says, she's Australian, so she uses the term, it gives me the shits. or it shits me. You know, you say that in the U.S. has a much different meaning. But she said, it shits me that, you know, I don't hit my numbers dead on. And I'm like, well, babe, you know, like she has a master's in nutrition. I'm like, babe, you know, intuitively, like logically, that even if you nail your numbers, you're not actually nailing your numbers. So I think the best thing you can do is, you know, eat the majority of your foods from, you know, whole food sources. They're, you know, single ingredient, you know, and then sprinkling in things that are treats here and there. You know, I think that's the best way to do it. I think if you're just eating really calorically dense foods because you can, unless you're, for example, deep into an off season and your calorie intake is really high, I think if you're trying to lose fat and you're purposely eating really high calorie foods, I think you're kind of missing the point. And I think you're probably doing it wrong. So I would say the big mistakes people make are eating out too frequently and not having, you know, enough actual, you know, we'll call it structured flexibility.
Yeah, I like that. And you said something there that really resonated, that when people go 3 or 4 grams over their macros for the day or whatever it is, and they go, oh, screw it, I'm done. I always think of an analogy like tires on a car that,
yeah,
you know, the saying that you know, it's falling off your diet because you've gone 3 grams over in your carbs is like getting a flat tire and slicing the other three tires. But we all do it. Like, we've all, at some stage, even I felt that victim.
It would actually be more like not even having a flat tire. It'd be like there was a small nick in your tire, and so you decide to slash all of them.
It's crazy what we do. There's a great video series on your membership site at the minute called Why Diets Fail. I'll link that up in the show notes too for anyone that wants to get onto it. So far, you've talked about self-defense system, metabolic adaption, energy restoration. And I know all three are incredibly important to understand, but something I'd love for you to explain in more detail for everybody listening is that of metabolic adaption. Can you talk us through that a little bit?
Yeah, so basically, you always want to think about what your body does from the perspective of what is evolution trying to do, right? And what are you telling your body? So when you diet, your body doesn't know that you're purposefully trying to lose body fat. What your body knows is that based on evolution, you are consuming less energy than you are expending. And so that sends the signals to the body, hey, we're in a famine. Energy is scarce. We have to start conserving. And so your body actually takes steps to lower your metabolic rate, make you more efficient at creating energy, and reduce the amount of energy you expend. So you become very efficient and less wasteful, right? Even right down to you have to, your heart has to pump less often. So when I diet, my heart rate will drop from like 60 to 65 resting heart rate to, like, when I'm very lean, it'll be down into the low 40s or even high 30s. So right down to the fact that your body doesn't even need to beat its heart as much to deliver blood flow, because you just get much more efficient at everything. So, and a lot of people make this mistake because they'll say things like, when I talk about flexible dieting, they'll say things like, well, I ate in a calorie deficit and I didn't lose weight. No, if you didn't lose weight, then by definition, you were not in a calorie deficit. What you experienced was you used a calorie number that should have been a deficit for you based on some kind of calculation you did online. And you didn't lose weight. It wasn't a calorie deficit for you. And the other thing, probably the more intuitive thing that people have experienced, is when you start a fat loss diet, so for your competition, for example, Brian, you started at a certain number of calories and lost weight on that, correct, when you started dieting?
Yeah.
Did you continue to lose weight indefinitely on that level of calories?
No, I had to gradually bring it down.
Right. And what's very interesting is that, you know, your metabolism does slow down because as you lose body mass, I mean, you just have less to carry around, right? You have less, you lose some lean body mass, you lose mostly body fat. That lowers your metabolic rate just because you have less shit to carry around, right? But we actually show that your body actually overreacts to dieting. And this is what metabolic adaptation is, that your body slows its metabolism down disproportionate to the amount of body mass you lose. So for average, it's probably around 15% slower than we would predict based on physics. So when people say, well, you know, calories in versus calories out doesn't work, it's an antiquated system, and they say stupid shit like that, They just don't understand that they're viewing calories in and calories out as independent variables. That, okay, if my calories out is 2,000 and I'm eating 1,800, I will always lose weight. And that is not how metabolism works. Your calories in, by definition, will affect calories out. If you eat more food, you will have a higher calorie output. If you eat less food, you will have a lower calorie output. Now, that being said, people will hear that and say, well, why can't we just eat more food to lose fat? Well, for example, let's say your BMR is 1,900 calories a day. If you eat 2,700, your BMR will go up. In fact, it might go up to 2,300, 2,400, but you're still consuming 300 to 400 calories more than you were burning, right? So you were still getting body fat. Same token, if you consume 1,500 calories, you will lose weight, and then your metabolism might slow down to the point where you barely lose weight or lose very little at all. But you still lost weight to a certain point. So people don't understand that metabolism is not static, and your what we call maintenance calories, or what you maintain your body weight on, are not set. And that number can change drastically depending on your lean body mass, your body fat level, your activity, and how much you put yourself in a surplus or a deficit. Anybody out there who's dieted after like being in a surplus for a long period of time, you probably found that the fat came off very easily, at least initially. Whereas if you have been yo-yo dieting, it actually gets harder and harder. And there's a lot of data that suggests that they actually did a study in rats that was terrifying. They took obese rats and they had two groups, an obese control, so they just let them eat whatever they wanted, and looked at how much weight they gained. And they had a yo-yo control. So they both of them started out at the same body weight. And they took them, the yo-yo, they took them through two cycles of dieting. What they found was when they regained the weight, they regained it twice as fast as they did losing it. They also found that the second time they tried to diet, they lost it at half the rate. It took them twice as long to lose the same amount of weight as the first time. Then when they regained it the second time, they regained it three times faster than the first time. So these people out here who yo-yo diet, you are, every time you do that, you are, researcher named McLean called it the body's self-defense system. You're activating your body's self-defense system because your body just says, shit, we're in famine. We got to be energetically efficient. And then when you yo-yo, when you regain body fat too quickly post-diet, you gain back all that body fat, but your metabolism does not come back up that fast. So then when you try to lose it again, it's even more difficult. And the more times you put yourself through this cycle, the harder and harder it gets to lose weight. So people out there that yo-yo diet for years and years on end, they get to the point where, I mean, they basically are fucked at a certain point. Now I have ideas and strategies for people to get through that. But if you yo-yo diet yourself for years and years and years, it's going to be, I'll put it this way. You're doing so much damage to your body, not like actual cellular damage, but more like damage in terms of your ability to get lean again. When you do that to your body, I have not seen one person who has history of years of yo-yo dieting who has gotten back down to a lean physique. That's just me being real. And I've worked with a lot of people, and some of them get better. They're able to get a little bit leaner and not have to restrict themselves so much. But people out there, if I can appeal to you, the reason that you stay at a higher body fat than you want is because you keep trying to lose the same fucking 5 to 10 pounds.
So true.
And you just I've got to lose this weight right now. And so you throw yourself into another fad diet or another crash diet, and you just keep doing the same shit over and over. If you keep doing that, you will get to a point where you're not able to lose weight, at least not able to lose weight without restricting yourself enormously. You need to think about weight loss as a long-term deal. If you are not thinking long-term, you are going to fail. I promise you, you're going to fail. 95% of people who lose weight will have regained all of it within 3 years. And of those people, 1/3 to 2/3 will add back on more weight than they lost. So what that says is diets don't work. Lifestyles work. Sustainability works. If you look at the 5% of people who are actually successful, they have a very low level of what researchers call recency. There's a new paper out on this. And recency is basically, what recency means is you are unable to value long-term information and data, value and process long-term information and data versus short-term information and data, meaning you don't think long-term. You think you have a hard time focusing on something that's a long way away. People who lose weight and keep it off have very low levels of recency. So they actually are able to say, I don't care about what's happening in the next 3 to 6 months. I care about what's happening in years. So if you don't have that mindset, if you don't think about what I'm doing today, is this actually healthy and contributing towards my long-term goal? And sometimes, a lot of times for people, especially yo-yo dieters or people who are chronic dieters, that means not dieting right now while you unfuck your metabolism, right? Most people, 99% of people I've worked with who've been in that situation cannot and do not do the work to unfuck their metabolism to get them to the point where they can actually lose weight in a healthy manner.
It's amazing, because what happens when people take the short-term fix, and again, everything you're saying there resonates so much, because you see the people that come off the back of yo-yo diets where they go from 100 pounds to 80 pounds to 105 pounds to 85 pounds to 110 pounds, and it's just this yo-yo back and forth, and they're 10 years or 20 years in, and they've spent half of their adult life dieting, and it's still not working. I love Unfuck Your Metabolism. I'm definitely working that into the title somewhere, Lane. One of the most frequent things I get asked, and I'm sure you're the exact same where you were, in terms of people listening to this now, whether they're off the back of a yo-yo diet, or they're just trying to lose some body fat or tone up or just change their body composition, they'll ask, how do you calculate calories? What's your process for the clients you work with, the people you work with, for calculating calories? Obviously, BMR and variations of it. What do you use for yourself and with clients to actually calculate maintenance or starting calories to decide whether someone goes into a deficit or a surplus?
Yeah, so I actually detail this in a lot of detail, as you know, in the Complete Contest Prep Guide. But I want to say first, before we talk about this, most people, the vast majority of people, don't fail a diet because they didn't have the right calorie level or right macro breakdown. They fail a diet because they fuck up, or they lose some weight and then they have a big binge or whatever, and they just go round and round. It's behaviors that make the difference. It's, you know, there's no magic macro breakdown that's going to cause you to, like, you could have the completely fucked up, stupid macros. But if you do the right behaviors, you're actually going to lose weight. Whereas if you have the perfect macronutrient breakdown, if you don't do the right behaviors, you're not going to lose weight. So I just want to qualify that in the front end. But for people who are very advanced, very mindful, they have a low level of recency, they're able to delay gratification, those sorts of traits. When it comes to calculating calories, what I like the most is actually food recall logs. So just, what are you eating right now? And let's look at what your weight is doing and use that to kind of back calculate your maintenance calories, right? So if people write down, hey, this is what I'm eating 150 grams of protein, 240 grams of carbs, and 70 grams of fat. Okay, well, what has your weight done over the last month? It's pretty much stayed the same. Okay, well, then we can be pretty reasonably sure that that is their around their maintenance calories, right? And then from there, depending on what their goal is, we can adjust those calories to try and meet their goal. So, but that is a major, major thing, is trying to figure out maintenance calories, because if we figure that out, we know where to go for the goal. But I usually like that. But if I don't, if they don't have that information or they don't want to do that, there's something called the Mueller equation, which is also listed in the book. And that is more accurate, I found, through, you know, putting in a lot of data points into it. The Mueller equation is much more accurate than things like the Harris-Benedict or Schofield equation or anything like that. So if we have to use an equation, we use the Mueller equation to calculate BMR. Then we use an activity factor. And then Holly and I, we use a metabolic factor as well, based on somebody's dieting history and that sort of thing, to try to determine what we think their maintenance calories are going to be.
Yeah, I like that. I'm going to link up the contest prep guide as well. Even if you're not ever going to step on stage, the information you'll get in that guide has helped me. It helped me so much in the beginning when I was a personal trainer first. So any personal trainers in particular, that is worth reading, just to get your own knowledge and build up your own knowledge on actual basic calories in and calories out and how it works and how to calculate it with other clients. One thing that you're big on, Lane, and one of your favorite quotes, and I can't remember if I heard it when you were on Rogan, and I think I've heard it off you several other times, is don't treat yourself with food, you're not a dog. So how do you handle, say, cheat meals or free meals or refeeds with yourself and then with clients?
So, yeah, Joe mentioned this, because he said, you know, if you're dieting, it's okay to, you know, treat yourself with a cheat meal or something like that. And I had that one loaded up. Could you tell? I was ready with that one.
You were on it. It was, he said it, and the button came back. I was like, Lane, on it.
Yeah. So yeah, don't, you're not a dog. Don't reward yourself with food, you know? So, you know, if you've done a good job, do something you enjoy. Like, I don't know, you know, for me, I love to go fishing. So go fishing if you've hit a big goal. Like when I got second at Worlds in 2015 for powerlifting, I mean, I did a fucking great job. Like, that was the best I possibly could have done. Like, I wasn't going to beat the guy who was the number one ranked lifter in the world unless he just had the worst day in the history of powerlifting. I took myself on a big fishing trip after that, because that was like my reward. I didn't go binge on cakes and burgers and all that kind of stuff because I felt deprived. My favorite saying is, if your diet is so great, why do you feel the need to cheat on it? Right? So if you're on such a great diet, why you got to cheat on it? Like, all these people that talk about how great the ketogenic diet is, and then they, or paleo diet or whatever it is, and then they talk about their cheat meal. Well, if it's so fucking great, why did you have to go out and have a cheat meal to stay sane? Right? So, and you know, when you talk about refeeds or high carb days or high calorie days, that is a much different thing. That is a targeted physiological outcome that you're targeting. Cheat day is just, I don't have enough discipline, so I need a day just to let myself do whatever the fuck I want. These are the same kind of mentality of people who go on drinking benders and, you know, splurges where they spend $5,000, and then in the same way, if you splurged and went on a shopping spree, you might feel good for a little while. What happens a week later when you can't pay your bills, right? You feel like shit. You say, why did I do that? So why the fuck would you plan for cheat days, right? I don't believe in cheat days. If I don't think any food is a cheat food. If you want to have something, great. Budget it into your macros and have it, right? So if I'm dieting and I just get a hankering of I've got to have some cheesecake, I'm probably not going to do this, by the way, because I don't want to spend as much calories on cheesecake. But if I get a hankering for it, okay, I'm going to go really low calorie the rest of the day so I can have myself a 1,200 calorie slice of cheesecake, because that's what I want. If I've just got to have it. But I never condone eating like a glutton or binge eating. I'm not going to – and I tell people, I tell my clients, I'm like, you can have a cheat day if you want, but I ain't going to tell you that that you're not going to gain body fat, because you are. You probably will gain body fat. So if you want to have a cheat day, go right ahead. But don't ask for my permission in terms of, you know, people basically want me to say, hey, it's okay, you're not going to gain body fat. But I'm not going to say that, because it's bullshit. People say, oh, you can't gain body fat in, you know, one bad meal. That's horseshit. Of course you can, especially if you've been dieting for a long period of time or very restrictively. In fact, you'd be able to gain a lot more body fat than you would think, because your body has triggered those systems that lower your metabolic rate, that increase your ability to store energy, because if you were in a famine, it would make sense that evolutionarily speaking, your body would upregulate systems that deal with capturing energy so that when you came across sufficient energy, you didn't waste it, that you captured every little bit of it that you could. I'm sure many of your listeners can relate to the idea of after a diet, or they say things like, oh God, it just everything seems to stick to me. I'm sure you've heard that before.
Yep.
100%. Well, it's sticking to you because of the way you've programmed your body. So I tell people dieting should be like war. You should spend the majority of your time in maintenance, unless you're trying to build muscle, which you should have a slight surplus here and there. But dieting should be like war. Get in, fuck shit up, dominate, and get the fuck out. Don't do a U.S. occupation of somewhere for 10 years. So, you know, but people, yeah, it's, you know, people got on, Joe got a lot of blowback because he said something about, you know, that people were just undisciplined. And people gave him a lot of blowback about that. And I understand why, but he's not necessarily wrong either. You know, I think we still need to have the conversation and talk about people who are undisciplined, because a lot of people are undisciplined. But discipline changes your life. That's not something that, yeah, some people have more of it than others inherently, but it's also something you can train yourself into. You can train yourself to be more disciplined. You just have to fucking decide to do it. Because I've not always been this disciplined. It was something that I trained myself to do through years and years and years of doing things that took a lot of delayed gratification and setting goals and achieving goals and you know, doing those sorts of things and built up to it slowly. You know, if you're somebody who, you know, you're obese or overweight or whatever it is, and you're really struggling, you need to understand that it may take you 10 years to get from that place to where you want to be. That's just me being real. And if you're not willing to do what it takes, and you're not willing to take that time, and you're not willing to do it right, then you're probably not going to get there. It's the same thing like people who try to get rich quick. You know, how many get rich quick schemes do you think actually end up working out for people? Not a whole lot. Who are the people who get wealthy? People who come from very little who get wealthy? Yeah, there's a couple people who just hit on a fucking, you know, they just get lucky. They have a great idea and it fucking hits and bang, it's like magic, and they just come into a lot of wealth, right?
But that's the minority, massively.
That is the massive minority. Most people who become wealthy, it's because they worked and they worked and they worked and they worked for years. People look at somebody like Steve Jobs, who, you know, had all the money that you could ever dream of, and just think about how great his life was. He used to eat at a soup kitchen when he was developing the Mac. He would literally go to a soup kitchen once a week so he'd get a home-cooked meal. Right?
Yeah, I remember.
This is a guy who developed.
It's in the Walter Isaacson book. It's a big section in there. And we don't see that. We always see the tip of the iceberg.
Exactly. And that's the same thing with dieting, right? So if you see somebody who's lost a lot of weight and kept it off, you only see the end product. But if they kept it off, then they had to, whatever skills they developed that helped them lose that weight, they had to keep doing that in perpetuity. If you don't keep doing that, you will not keep it off, period. You can't just expect to be able to go. Everything has a cost. So if you want to lose weight, or you want to be in better shape, or you want to change your life around, there is going to be a cost. And that cost, a lot of it is discipline.
Yeah, I just want to pull out that was something you said there, Lane, that I think people are going to get a lot of value from. Discipline is something that's built. It's like a muscle. You build discipline by consistently doing things that you don't want to do, even though you know you have to do it. And 100%. I think anybody that is successful in fitness, in business, in life in general, they've just learned to do the things that they have to do, whether they feel like it or not. But everybody can build that, because sometimes we'll look at Alain Norton, and I've been following you for years back before I even became a personal trainer in sports nutrition. And you put people on pedestals at the time and think, oh, I could never do that. But you realize that it's, oh, I've seen over the last 10, 12 years that, man, he's just showing up every day, training every day, learning every day, grinding every day.
Yep.
And you realize that's what makes success.
No, it's 100% what does it. Because, you know, people think, oh, he loves to train, you know, this and that. I don't love to train every day. Some days I fucking hate training. Some days I don't want to go in, you know, but I still, I mean, short of being, you know, injured or something like that, I get my ass in the gym because I know that how I feel today doesn't mean shit about how I might feel tomorrow, or what my goals are more important than a short-term feeling. You know what I mean? So I'm going to show up today. I'm going to show up tomorrow. I mean, you know, a lot of people have, you know, seen, because I'm a public figure and you've been following me for 10 years. So you probably saw the last 2 years of my personal life fall apart, lost multiple businesses, all that kind of stuff. I'm assuming you followed me through that.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I, you know, a lot of that shit was my own fault, because I didn't handle some things well. And, but trust me, there were days I did not want to get out of bed and I just wanted to sit in bed and feel sorry for myself. But I got my ass out of bed every day and went to work because I knew damn well that nobody was going to feel sorry for me. And even if they did, how does that help me? It doesn't help me at all. So I got my ass up and I went to work every single day. And you know what? A year later, my life looks completely different. I'm very happy. I have a great life. I'm back to having some peace in my life, which is fucking awesome. But you know, if you rewind back a year, it looked pretty shit. So, and a lot of people were telling me too, they're like, oh, you know, Lane's done. This will be the last we hear from him in the fitness industry. And, you know, but when you keep showing up and working, there's something about that just massive action of doing that. The universe just eventually just yields to you.
I agree. And it's funny because seeing that struggle actually between me and you, it drew me closer to you. Like, it humanized you to me because of, and it inspired me in the sense that, because we all, it's all relative in terms of people have struggles so much worse than others. You're, you know, as you said a year ago, the height of your struggles. But to see, because it would have been easy to crack, it would have been easier to put your head under the covers and say, fuck this, I'm done, you know, I'm not dealing with this shit anymore. But you didn't. You got up and you fucking grinded and you kept going. And now the stuff you're putting out and what you're doing is better than ever, in my opinion, from someone that's been following for years. And I fucking love that. Like, just from a side note, because it's so inspiring to see. And again, I'll wrap up because I'm so conscious of your time, Lane, but I fucking love the whole journey. I'm going to link up all your social media platforms, and everybody that's listening to this, if you're not following Lane, you need to go do that now. He puts out so much value on a consistent basis. But before we go, can you tell us a little bit about the new book, Fat Loss Forever? I've already pre-ordered it. And I'll link it in the show notes. Can you tell us a little bit about it? Yeah, man, I can't wait for it. But can you tell us, why did you write this particular book and what it's all about?
Yeah, so basically this is the book I've always wanted to write, which is about why diets keep failing, why we have such a low success rate, and why we have an obesity problem. Because we don't have a weight loss problem. 6 out of every 7 people who are overweight or obese do lose a significant amount of body weight in their life. The problem is they cannot keep it off. The weight relapse or regain statistics are absolutely shocking. I told them to you earlier. Within 1 year, 50 to 70% will have gained it all back. Within 2 years, that number is 85%. Within 3 years, that number is 95%. In fact, there was a paper published, I believe it was in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition. There's a scientific paper that the title was The Mediocre Results of Dieting. And they basically looked at how successful is dieting at causing long-term weight loss. And the conclusion of the paper was that dieting is not a successful method of causing long-term weight loss. That was the conclusion, if you want to have your mind blown a little bit. There's scientific researchers admitting that dieting basically doesn't work. But the reason it doesn't work is not because it physiologically doesn't work. It's because the way people diet is so unsustainable because they don't think about the sustainability factor. They just think about, they want to get the weight off right now. You know, we're a short-term gratification society. You know, my iPhone, I have an older iPhone. I have an iPhone 7 Plus. You know, I think there's like 18 that came after this now. But, you know, I have an iPhone 7 Plus. There is more technology in this phone than the most advanced computer 10 years ago, right? Like, this thing is an absolute miracle of science and innovation. But if it takes more than 2 seconds to pull up a website page, I'm about to throw it through the window and say, why is this taking so damn long, this piece of crap, you know? Because we're a very short-term gratification society. We want everything now because we've been brought up in a culture where we can have it now. If I want food, I can literally have any food within a half-hour radius of me just by getting on my phone and getting Uber Eats to come deliver it to my fucking doorstep. And it'll be here within half an hour, right? So, like, that is just unbelievable. And so, but it makes us, we may be able to do that very quickly, but we are still dealing with evolutionary genetics that are embedded in our DNA that causes change in our body to be extremely slow and probably has to be slow. So this is why I wrote this book, because it's a book that's not just about why diets fail. Sorry, it's not a book just about diets failing. It's about why they fail, who is actually successful, how you can take those behaviors and attitudes and how you can apply it to yourself so that you can actually lose weight and keep it off. Okay? This is a book that is going to be great for anyone who's ever wanted to lose fat, coaches out there. It actually goes way more in depth into the science behind how fat loss works than the contest prep guide did. It has the guide components of, hey, here's how you calculate your calories and all that kind of stuff. And it also goes through debunking all the bullshit fad diets out there and why they fail. Okay. But this book particularly is for the people who feel like they have no hope, that nothing feels like it's worked for them. They've tried all the fad diets out there and nothing seems like it works. I wrote this book because I work with so many people with gut-wrenching stories of being misguided by either bad coaches or people on TV or weight loss doctors who don't know what the fuck they're doing and just end up back in the same position over and over again, and they're just worn out, beaten down, and depressed. This book is for them because as a coach, I can only work with so many people. But as a book, I can reach as many people as will listen to me. So this book is meant to be the ultimate weight loss lifestyle guide to help people lose it for good and keep it off. Or I guess lose it for good is the same thing as keep it off.
Yeah.
But I mean, we're going to have a whole chapter just on the behaviors of successful dieters. We're going to have a whole chapter on the diet after the diet. We have a whole chapter on why diets fail, a whole chapter just on energy balance, a whole chapter just on how to calculate your calories, a whole chapter on how to calculate your macros, a whole chapter on how to adjust your diet as you go through. Like, it's probably going to be, I'm going to guess it's definitely going to be over 400 pages, but it's probably going to be over 500 pages.
And I can vouch for anybody that is listening that what I love so much about your stuff, Lane, is it's so heavy on the science, but you tend to use analogies and break things down in a very accessible way for people. So I think regardless of your background in, you know, sports science or your understanding of chemistry for anybody listening, Lane is notorious for breaking things down into a very accessible way. So I can't wait to read it. I'm going to link it in the show notes for everybody. You just brought up one thing there, Lane, that I want before we leave and tell everybody the best place to find out about you. Is there something in the fitness industry more than anything else that annoys the shit out of you? Like, you mentioned some of the doctors. Is there one thing in particular about the fitness industry that really irks you?
Thomas DeLauer.
Can you say it again?
So just people like Thomas DeLauer and others who, they have a large platform because they
use a lot of really, with him.
Oh, he's got some YouTube advertisements, and but it's not mean to pick on him. He actually is a very nice person when he will speak to you, but you know his marketing stuff is just absolute, just over the top zealotry nonsense. But I guess people who have developed a large platform through marketing or their physique, they have a good physique. That sort of thing. You know, these fitness models with 2 million followers who have no idea what they're talking about. And they use that platform. And instead of staying in their lane, they try to create themselves as being nutrition experts. That shit drives me more nuts than anything else, because I try to do a really hard time of staying in my lane. Like, I've helped, you know, rehab myself from various injuries. And people will ask me injury questions all the time. And I always say, I am not a PT. I am not an orthopedic surgeon. I am not this. I am not that. You need to go speak to a specialist. I don't sit here and say, oh, yeah, just do some bird dogs and your back will get better. I don't know that, because I don't know what – I don't have the background in physiology to be able to diagnose and treat that, you know. So that shit drives me absolutely nuts when I see that. But, you know, the best – for people who are out there who want to find me, the best place to find me is on my website, biolane.com. And actually, the pre-order for the book is now closed, so they can't order it till it comes out, which will be about 8 to 12 weeks, we're estimating. But you can get a free chapter. So you can get the first chapter for free if you go there, put your email in, and you'll get the free first chapter, which I think people will really enjoy. And you'll actually, it's not just a throwaway chapter. It's actually a really, really good chapter.
Amazing. I will link that in the show notes on briankeenfitness.com. And everybody that is checking out my stories, my book is, I've already pre-ordered, so I'm getting my copy, so fuck y'all. No joke. But I'll be linking it up in my stories. I'll link up bits from it, and I'll link out to Lane's site as well so that you can order it when the book is out. Lane, I know how crazy your schedule is, so I cannot thank you enough. And for all the value you provide and for all the inspiration you give, thank you so much.
Hey, Brian, thanks for having me. I really enjoyed the conversation.
Quick message before you head off. Just letting you know, my best-selling book, The Fitness Mindset, is now available on Audible and all major audiobook apps. If you're like me and love listening to books while you travel or work out, be sure to go to audible.co.uk or audible.com to check out the audio version of The Fitness Mindset. You can listen to a 3-minute sample on there, or you can download the full book. Also, last thing before you leave, if you try Clean Cut Meals, the sponsors of today's episode, be sure to enter the code BKF at the checkout to get your 20% off your first order. Clean Cut Meals are doing all my food for my next adventure challenge coming early next year. I'll be announcing more about that during next month's podcast, and I'm just waiting actually on medical clearance. Ugh, yikes. So stay tuned for that, and remember, code BKF at the checkout for 20% off your first order. Catch you all next week.